Blog Talk Radio.
That really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, we've got some top headlines tonight. We've got Super Bowl 58. We missed last week, but that's all right. We'll make up for it tonight. We've got a lot to talk about Super Bowl 58. We've got Russell Wilson Fields. Which one of them goes to the Steelers, or any of them? Steelers go another route. No. We do want to give a condolence out to Golden Richards. Cowboys Super Bowl winning receiver died at 73. We got a story in here. We'll get probably have some time to get into him. The Super Bowl 12, I was a little kid. Well, I was, 12. Is that the same age as the Super Bowl? Oh, my age. I'm like, no. Say nothing. No. I didn't really mean forms are causing a little bit of a stir, and I can see why. And why are you doing this? What are you doing this for? Why remodel a freaking uniform? And you can see right through it. I mean, thank God LaRouche ain't playing. You can see his garters underneath the things. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. Well, anyway, we do have a lot of trivia tonight if we get to that. Baseball, football, boxing, and golf. You got a lot to talk about. Now, I don't know what happened to Seth. He was born here, and there he is. There he is. We lost him, but we brought him back. Seth, my friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, everyone.
Hey, let's talk about the Super Bowl. One, I do think it was a great game. Disappointed because my team did not win. But, look, that's part of life. But I thought it was a very hard-fought football. We got to see everything that we were going to see. We were going to see good plays on offense and good plays on defense. It built for itself. We knew we were going to see everything that we saw. And we did. It was not a letdown. The score was not anywhere near as what, but I kind of had a feeling that it wasn't going to be. Because when you got two teams like that, it's, you know, you're not going to get into the high scores. Nobody's going to get any 50. So, but no, overall, I thought it was a great game. I'm so bummed, but hey, look, there's always next year. And if you, I want to get your, well, I'll ask you that question after this, but I just want to get your take on the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago.
Is myself, is Viper here, or who's answering the question?
Oh, we don't got Viper here yet. He's,
oh, okay. To be honest, this was maybe one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen. I believe it's the second Super Bowl ever to go to overtime.
Right.
I think in the first half, you definitely said San Francisco dominated the first half, regardless of the score, right? Just dominated.
They dominated the entire game except for the last 5 minutes.
And Andy Reid, who can make any type of adjustments, they literally came out of nowhere, even at the end, tie it up, go to overtime, and literally in the overtime game, because the overtime game in the Super Bowl is different rules than any other game, period. And so it's pretty much you got to play it out.
Well,
and
I don't understand why they
play it out and do their thing at the very, with 3 seconds left. It was amazing. And literally the 49ers all year long were the best team in the NFC. They should have been there. The Chiefs, they're the Chiefs. It's just like Tom Brady with the Patriots. Every year Tom Brady was pretty much in the AFC championship game. And pretty much when you look at Patrick Mahomes every year, he's going to be in the AFC championship game. And you're like, oh, you guys are a wild card. We just won a Super Bowl. So it doesn't matter. We're in the playoffs.
In both overtime games, that was in 2017, February of 2017, when the Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons in overtime, and the same thing is in the 49ers. Look, the Falcons dominated the whole game until they didn't. And same with the 49ers. They dominated the whole game until the last few minutes. You got to play all 60 minutes. And we saw that with Cincinnati with 14 seconds. You don't give Mahomes any time, not even 1 second. You can make a play.
No, you don't. No, Patrick Mahomes, to me, is the most dangerous thing I've ever seen on this planet because he never wants to run the ball. Never. But he sees an opportunity. He already sees it. He's gone. And you're like, he just ran for 64 yards and had the perfect slide, you know? So even if some idiot accidentally bumps him, he's not going to get hurt. But they got that 15-yard penalty.
Well, you know, I want to know, and a lot of people have been questioning, and look, I saw that this year a number of times where Kelce overreacts a little too much, and his girlfriend, very frail. I mean, she's a, you know, she's a little drink of water, you know, and he's a big, big man. But, I mean, he's got, I mean, that dude's got a temper. I mean, damn. And then what he did with Coach Reed, I mean, you try that with Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka would have just, he would have ripped his head off. You didn't grab Mike Ditka and then scream in his face? Try that with John Madden. Try that with any of those old dudes, man. I mean,
That's where literally you have been playing your coach, and you know you want to let your coach know you are so fired up that he'll know, and it might look weird to everybody else. But you know what? They win Super Bowls and go to AFC Championship games. So maybe Andy Reid and Kelce are okay, everybody, and stop overreacting to your little woke world.
Well, it could have been Kelce was not yelling at McCarthy or at Reid. It could have been he just was being passionate and wasn't saying, Coach, you suck, you're this, you're that. So you're right, there is that. And they're not telling us what happened, and I like that because it's really what's on the field has to stay on the field. Certain things should never be public. They should not be made public. And so good, I'm glad they're keeping it.
And all he really might have said to Andy Reid, if I can imagine it without hearing the audio, is probably like,
I'm going to do it this day. Yeah.
It's like, listen, mother effer, we're losing because you can't get me the ball. Get me the ball. That's probably what he really told him. Something like that.
Who knows? I mean, I just love it because it, you know, and then he was really, really, really drunk. At least he didn't throw the Lombardi trophy over the bay. I love that. That was, I mean, look, Tom Brady, he does not eat at all. So all it's going to take is just like maybe one or two little drinks, and this guy is going to be sloshed. He drinks his dinners. He doesn't have, like, food to absorb the alcohol. And then he throws the trophy, and thank God that Gronk, who was also drunk, caught the pen.
No, it wasn't Gronk. It was a guy that looked like Gronk, but he wasn't Gronk. That's the whole thing.
Who was it?
No. It was somebody else, and he looked like Gronk. And yet he did catch it. And the whole crazy thing is afterwards, the Florida Coast Guard and whatever started to figure out how to retrieve the trophy if it had went into the water, and that was going to be
easy.
No, it was going to be a 2 to 3 day mission because that's a heavy weight that just got dropped, and then the sediment that created, and it's going to bury itself. Yeah, it was a 2 to 3 day recovery.
Well, no, I mean, you know where it is, and where they were at, that bay is not that deep. I mean, it's deep, but it's not that deep, and they would have been able to send divers down, and they would have been able to find that in 1 day. It wouldn't have taken 3 days. That's
I'm just telling you what the government was saying.
Well, I know that's the government. Of course, it's got to take to get it passed by Congress before.
Yeah. Well, why not spend $300 for a Stanley hammer? That's government, man. You know that.
Oh, Cam Brate, Bratty, B-R-A-T-E, Cam. I don't know the guy. That's who it was. I thought it was Gronk. But Cam Brate.
Everybody always thinks it was Gronk. No, it's like the story that happened that over time, because this is a story. I mean, no one's ever seen anybody throw the trophy from boat to boat.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't remember this guy at all.
Oh, no, he was like a lineman or,
a tight end. Yeah.
A tight end.
Is it Brate or is it Brate? Me or Bronte? You still with the Buccaneers? No, I don't. Never heard the guy's name. He didn't look like Gronk. Well, he shaves his
beard. Oh, no, and that's where we're. People don't really realize. Baker Mayfield, I think, found his home. I think Baker is the quarterback for the Buccaneers. And that team, a lot of those people were still from the Tom Brady Super Bowl team, or enough of them. So they don't really have to get too many different pieces to their puzzle. And they got pretty far in the playoffs,
Well, I got to know, we're going to ask Viper. He's coming on board here. Here pretty soon, but how do you pronounce his name? Is it Brate or Brate? Brate? How do you pronounce it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I really heard of the guy. I thought it was Gronk. I mean, this time I really thought it was Gronk. I really did.
No, everybody did. Yep, it just became this story, this built up story. No, it sounded great, right? Brady throwing to Gronk and he caught it.
Well, they were saying on the news he threw it to Gronk.
What's even crazier is what people don't realize this, is that when you play with big physical people and they're celebrating and they're having a good time, he just threw a metal object a long way. That metal object is now a weapon. It's not cool if you don't catch it. It bounces. And these other big people are like, oh, and they just caught it. That's some Viking-like stuff right there.
Well, he's retired now. He wasn't really the starter. He didn't start for very many games. He was tight end. And, of course, he wasn't going to start over Gronk. But I did not know that. That is really, that's a great trivia question.
Right? Yeah, and he's got a name that you can't even pronounce. And I think that's why everybody just said Gronk.
Well, I thought it was, it looked, well, the camera only showed, it was so quick and it was bouncing and it, you know, moved around. As soon as he cut it, then they went on to something else. So, I assumed it was Gronk. I think the media even said it was Gronk. Let's see where it is. Let's watch the video one more time. Let's watch this.
Yeah, it's not Gronk. I think Gronk is actually on the boat with Tom.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, then he throws it and... Well, wait a minute. Looks like he's sitting down. He hung on to it and another guy grabs it kind of from him and picks it up. Picks it from him. And he ends up, he wasn't really the starters, so maybe that's what Brady was doing. Like, okay, we got the superstars on this boat, and we got the, you know, backups on the other boat.
Right, and now you were talking about supreme physical athletes partying on the water. Everyone's having a good time,
shore.
Man.
It's close to the shore. Probably most is 20 feet.
Well, no, those canals in Florida can be even still be really deep. It just depends on where you're at what spot.
Well,
but
I just saw where it was at, you know, the piers right next to them, and they got the quail all, you know, right there. Yeah, they weren't that deep. But
well, I'm just telling you what the Coast Guard said: 2 to 3 days to recover it because of how deep that particular canal was, and the sediment.
It wasn't that far from
it's gonna be. Yeah, no, it was gonna be a disaster too. It is going to be a disaster. And Tom Brady threw it. But it worked out, right? It worked out.
So Cameron,
but hey,
right.
For the NFL Lombardi Trophy, right? That's what we're talking about. Let's talk about the Stanley Cup and where that's been. That thing should be
that nobody
braced for Listeria, herpes.
It has been held for ransom. It has been kidnapped. It has been lost. It has not only had trophy lost. First of all, there'd be a lot of people going to jail.
No, I had to muffle myself from laughing. No, if people think about what has ever happened to a trophy, it's almost like I think at one point the Stanley Cup was like hijacked or kidnapped or ransomed. It was no, but there's backups to the Stanley Cup because of this reason. Like, you can have it. We're not paying the ransom. Just create a new one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. But, hey, that is a great trivia question. And when you look at it, because, again, it's going so fast. And again, you would just normally assume that it would be Gronk because Brady always throws to Gronk, and Gronk being, you know.
Right.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, no, and the dude kind of looks like Ronk, you know?
From the guy had a hat on, he had his glasses, he had shorts, and then he was there
right,
were people in front of him, and he stood up,
Yeah, no, it seems like it's supposed to be him.
Well,
and
everybody would assume that, this is going to be a great trivia question. In a couple of years, everybody's going to say Gronk caught it. Everybody. I guarantee you.
Yeah,
it's like when people mispronounce movie lines.
Right.
You know,
and pretty much when you watch it again over and over, it sounds like a couple times right now. Did he really catch it in the air?
No, the guy sitting down landed. The guy was holding on to it above his head, and Cameron Brate caught it at kind of like the same time. They both caught it at the same time, and then he up. As Cameron Brate stood up, he had the majority of it in his hands, and then he held it up. So.
Well, so it bounced, and then there was two guys that held it.
At first, and then when he stood up. But look, the only way it would have gotten the drink, if it would have, whoever was sitting down, and they had a bunch of women on board there too. So whoever was sitting down, if it would have bounced off his head, it would have gone into the drink. It would have been funny. Have it bounce off his head.
Well, it might kill you, though, so it might not be funny, Skeet, but yes, I see your sailor humor. That's fine.
Well, no. You know, it's kind of like, remember
I was just a tackle dude on an Army base. I wasn't a sailor, even though my last name is Skippers, and my dad was a sailor.
Well,
my grandpa
remember when Jose Canseco, when the ball hit him in his head? And it bounced off his head and went over the fence for a home run. And he just was walking around like, oh, no big deal. I mean, the guy obviously had really not a lot up there to really damage, but, I mean, that had to have hurt. You know, it bounces off your head, goes over the fence, at least a good 2.5, 3 feet.
Oh, no, and the worst thing, and obviously, you have to realize, this is Oakland, California. It could be full sun. So, as an outfielder, you can see stuff at a certain point. You got to backtrack, which I never had that approach. I'd always let you get a long single. I'll come in all day long. If I got a backtracker,
well, it was clearly obvious.
And then you go into
sun,
like, are you kidding me? I'm not jumping up there and whatever, and having that hit me in my head. F that, dude. No way. No way.
Well, no. I mean, it was obvious that he lost it in the. He lost the ball in the sun. I mean, it was clearly, but it looked like it hit. You know the button on top of your cap, and you've ever hit yourself, that hurts because that metal part goes right into your head. So if it bounced off of that, ow. And he just, you know, just walking around, all he could do was laugh. I mean, what else could you do at that point? It bounced off your melon, bounced 3 feet into the air over the fence for a home run.
Oh, no, and I've had it where everybody's like, sup, and I'm like, I'm good. And then I've had it where I wake up 10 minutes later, and there's 10 people around me like, you're alive. Yep, all right.
Wouldn't that have been a ground rule double? Because it didn't actually go over the fence
itself. Yep, it would have been a double if it bounced off of. Well, ooh, that's interesting rule. No, I don't think so, because your glove could go over that fence and hit it, and then it still goes home.
You're hitting an obstruction that caused the ball to go.
No, but you are
Listen, Seth. If the ball goes over the fence on its own power, that's a home run. But if it hits any other obstruction, like if it hits the ground and bounces over the fence,
right,
that is a ground rule double. So what's the difference of hitting the ground or hitting Canseco's head?
No. I'm pretty sure if it hits you, that ball is fair play. If it goes over the fence, it's a home run, period.
Well, it should be a ground rule double.
No. Nope.
Well, look, well, if it hits the ground and bounces over the fence, that's a ground rule double. So how is that any different?
Your glove could be over the fence. Your glove hits that ball. It still goes over. You can't call that a ground rule anything. You can't. That's a home run. So, yeah, if it hits an actual player and it goes over the fence, it's a home run.
Well, they call it a home run. Here it is. And I got the video, but technically, though, it really should be a ground rule double because it didn't go over the fence. You know? It was like hitting the ground and going over. But there it is right there of Minnesota. There he is. Boink. Oh, that went over a little bit more than 3 feet. That went like about 5 feet. Bounced off his head. That's when he was with Texas.
We're getting to pretty close to spring training baseball.
And they were in Minnesota. So, all right, looks like we got Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Hey, good to hear you. How you doing? How you doing today, guys?
Pretty good. We were talking about all kinds of stuff, and but let's start with the Super Bowl. What was your take on the Super Bowl? I mean, how did you find the game? Was it did it give you what it was billed? Disappointed, happy, sad, tragic?
Well, I think we all kind of agreed, despite who we picked, that it was going to be a really good game, and clearly it was.
Yep.
It goes overtime.
Yep.
There's numerous things that I had planned to say last week, but. But yeah, I mean, I felt it was pretty much as good as advertised. I don't know how anyone else felt.
No, it was definitely as advertised, but it also showed again on both overtime games. There's only been two. You have to play the full 60 minutes. We saw that happen when Atlanta Falcons. They were 28-3, middle of, you know, late in the third quarter. You didn't play the whole game. 49ers. Yeah, you were ahead, but you gave Mahomes with 2 minutes on the clock. Dangerous. And your defense didn't do it. Your defense didn't show up. They let them go down the field. They had you where they wanted you, and you couldn't, you know, that offense, I don't know how they do it at the last minute, but they always seem to be in the places where the defense isn't. You know, it's like, who said that in baseball? Hit them where they ain't.
Oh, no, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have at the end is such a chemistry that they really know they have designed plays, but Travis Kelce always has the flexibility to do whatever he does and expose something. and Patrick Mahomes will throw up this miracle ball. And when Kelsey gets it, you're like, what the F just happened? Again, but it happens, dude. That's their thing. And how many AFC championship games have they been in a row? It's starting to get to be a real number, man.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right, Seth. I mean, what you're talking about is not just the chemistry between Mahomes and Kelsey. But you're talking about the game IQ and intelligence that both of them have. You know, it's partly Mahomes going through his reads, understanding what the defense is coming at him, calling out the right blocking coverage in front of him, and then Kelsey knowing where to go in a zone scenario or route running scenario to where Mahomes can get him the ball. And that's the game IQ that two players who have now multiple championships, that's what they give you. You can't teach that. That doesn't come out of college. That's not something that happens overnight. That's your experience.
Viper, this was their first time being a wild card.
Amazing, yeah.
No, you see what I'm saying? They have ran through every experiment. They're in the playoffs. They're still in the AFC Championship game, period. Done.
And think about this for a second. 2 years ago, they lose arguably the biggest offensive weapon in the league, and definitely for Mahomes. They lose Tyreek Hill. What do? They win 2 Super Bowls back-to-back. That's unbelievable.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
You know, it's like with the Patriots, though. They use everybody on the team. They don't rely on just one receiver, one running back, one this, one that. And look at what the Chiefs did. I mean, it wasn't just Kelsey catching balls, and I think Kelsey, I don't even think he had a touchdown. No, he did have one. But everybody else got to play. And that's how you win, because everybody else gets to touch the ball. You never know who's going to get it.
No, and look at the way Andy Reid reacts to the NFL. Like, when you used to think about the Kansas City Chiefs before Patrick Mahomes, there was 3 running backs that you didn't know were like Christian Okoye's. And you're like, what the F is going on here? Then he gets Patrick Mahomes and what do you got? Pacheco? But you don't have 3 running backs anymore. They can't do that anymore. They don't need to do that anymore. And Patrick Mahomes is one of the best pocket pass quarterbacks that if you challenge him to run and he can see a lane, he's like, I'm going to run 64 yards with a perfect slide and get that late crap hit and not get hurt and extra 15 yards. Thank you, bro. Yeah, he literally is the best quarterback out there right now, period.
Well, I know they've been talking about him, you know, reaching Brady numbers. Is it possible? Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, if he doesn't get hurt, is it possible? Yeah. I think it could be. Does he get more than 7? It'd have to be... Yeah, he's going to have to get 7. Well, he's got 3. And getting 4 more, it's not as easy as it... You know, because look, the Patriots lost They didn't get to the Super Bowl every year. They got to the playoffs every year, but they never got to the Super Bowl every year. And they only lost, well, three times. Twice to Eli and once to Foles, the backup quarterback. So, but hey, I mean, look, obviously, though, the Chiefs, this is right now, this era in football, the Chiefs are a dynasty right now. You have to consider them a dynasty right now. I think so. Unless I'm wrong. Viper, well, I mean.
Well, I mean the first back-to-back Super Bowl winners since what? Was it 2006 or something like that?
Oh, wow.
No, it would have been the Patriots. It would have been the Patriots. And you're right.
That they were back-to-back, you know?
Yeah,
but
I mean, we haven't seen that in a long time.
Once. I think it was only once that the Patriots went back-to-back. I don't, did they do
it
twice?
Only once.
Yeah. Cowboys did it once.
It should have been twice without that catch-up David Tyree's head. It would have been twice, but...
Oh, David Tyree. Oh man, that was a good Super Bowl. You got to put that in the at least top 10. Top, you know, that was a good Super Bowl.
Okay, so undefeated in that game. I mean, you thought it was a no-brainer,
right? And Eli Manning, which had so much criticism on him when he first came up. And then when they got to the Super Bowl, this guy, he shouldn't even be here, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? He just beat Tom Brady, and he got the MVP. And he got two rings before his
brother. Eli Manning, because of his dad with Archie, San Diego, I think, drafted him. And
right
Archie
San Diego.
Said, my son ain't playing for your crap organization. You better trade it right now.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Well, speaking of San Diego, I mean, hey, look, who knows what, Harbaugh's going to do. I think he's going to improve them. But, you know, you can only improve so much. I mean, you need personnel that you can improve. I think Herbert, you know, has got something that can improve, but, you know, other than that, I mean, that team's missing a lot of stuff. So we'll see if they can, you know, you can get them working together.
Oh,
you know?
No, and I think that this panel is of the older generation. So people realize that Philip Rivers played, I think, for the Chargers 17 years, but remember Dan Fouts. An amazing quarterback, just like Philip Rivers, just like Joe Kelly Herbert.
Kellen Winslow, Charlie Joyner,
people, and, you know, it just took every once in a while, like a junior sale, to get him to a Super Bowl. But to be honest, every single year, that organization can make the playoffs. So even if you discount them, you say whatever, they're jinxed, they're still a fun team to always watch it all the time. Like, if I went to a real live NFL game, and whether it was at home or in California, and Justin Herbert is the quarterback starting dude, I'm pretty happy that I'm watching that game live. I'm just telling you that. That's just me.
Well, we'll find out. Time can tell. But, I mean, if you had to pick right now, who's going to win the Super Bowl next year? And it's an impossible pick. I mean, you could pick any one of these teams. Now, do the 49ers, do they come back and finish the job? Well, it's not very easy once you get to the Super Bowl and lose it. It's extremely difficult to come back. Look at the numbers. Look at the teams that have made it to the Super Bowl and lost. You don't, except the Bills.
Yeah, but,
and the Bills did it four times.
But Skeet, they went to the NFC Championship game last year. Brock Purdy hit his thumb against that helmet, against the Eagles. That pretty much made him lose. Eagles went to the Super Bowl. And then Brock Purdy took him to the Super Bowl. I got San Francisco in the Super Bowl next year, and I got Kansas City.
Well, look, me and Brother X were talking about
the rematch. It's a rematch.
That's what we were talking about. You look at all these teams, and one, there's a few quarterbacks out there, but there's not really a lot of room. Everybody's kind of set. And there may be some finagling with free agents, but as of right now, you look at it and you think, well, the schedule, I mean, everything is going to be kind of similar, and who's going to beat the Chiefs and who's going to beat the 49ers? And who? It doesn't look good. So, yeah, I think we could see a repeat, but I think the 49ers, they get there. I think they're going to beat them at least once. I think the 49ers, they got a Super Bowl in there. There's a Super Bowl in this team.
No. And here's the thing with the 49ers. They've had so many injuries for the last 7-8 years. And even with these injuries, these teams were almost 500 or 500 when they got Christian McCaffrey. I was like, okay. Here they go.
That was a beautiful.
You're literally talking about the greatest running back / receiver in the NFL. Now, not in history, but now, the best. And basically almost for nothing. Yeah, that has been the difference, and that's why they have been in the NFC Championship game last year and the Super Bowl this year. So that they haven't won doesn't surprise me, but if you talk about a team on one assembled day, if you had Christian McCaffrey go for 220 and you had Deebo Samuel go for 200, no one's beating you. I ain't talking about the rest of the team.
Well, there's a Super Bowl in this team. This team's going to get at least one. And, hey, look, as of right now, I mean, who's really going to beat the Chiefs and who's really going to beat the 49ers?
Well, no, and people forget the Bronco had some really unsuccessful stuff, but it was still John Elway as your quarterback, and I am a Raiders fan, so I don't really want to talk about this guy in a good manner, but yeah, when he got his two Super Bowls, I was like, I knew it, you know, yeah. Yeah, he earned it. He earned it, but it sucked.
Well, I'm gonna kind of step in on that discussion, and you know, I for one do not think the 49ers are the lock that people are thinking they are for a couple of reasons. Number one, Philadelphia looked like a lock all the way through 10 games this year, and then the wheels came off the bus. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I think there's probably some culture issues going on in the locker room. I think the tush-push had made had taken a physical toll on Jalen Hurts. Okay, fine, it's an unstoppable play, but you're beating up your quarterback every time you do it. It's stupid. And here's the deal, you know. Deebo Samuel was critical. Getting him healthy was critical against the Lions and obviously against the Chiefs. And that guy goes down, the odds against the Lions go down. What happens if McCaffrey goes down? And I think that, you know, it's a careful balance. You can sustain some injuries, but there's certain injuries you really can't sustain. And losing McCaffrey is all it's going to take. And the 49ers are going to be, you know, an above-average team with a chance to win.
Yeah, but even in Detroit running game, you got Montgomery and you got Gibbs.
That's my point, is that some teams can lose
McCaffrey,
certain players.
Can you win the other guy, right? So, yeah, that's a major loss when that guy's out of the lineup for 100% sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the concerns I have for the 49ers. And they do seem to go through injuries in cycles. And we don't know that Chase Young's coming back. We don't know. What the prognosis is for some of the off-season free agents. We don't know what that is yet.
But Viper, do you see San Francisco right now being a team that is like, hey, I'm probably going to be in the NFC championship game every year? Do you see them kind of in that direction, or do you say, you know, I'm not sure. Because they've done.
Are you asking me what I think they think, or are you asking me what I think?
Yes, what you think.
Which one? What do I think?
Yes.
I think they're going to struggle to win their division next year. Not because of them, but because of what's happening.
That's a whole different direction.
Right. Who
do you think's got it?
Rams?
I mean, the Rams, I think the Rams and the Lions are tied for second in terms of what they got out of their draft class and their new personnel this year. The Rams are scary. They are scary in a lot of ways. And Matt Stafford is still an elite quarterback. He's a top three, top five quarterback. He's got a dangerous receiver in Puka. He's got Cooper Kupp, who's still pretty good, you know.
No, but let's be honest, Viper. If you are a quarterback in the NFL and you have a Super Bowl victory, you have broken your cherry, right? Like, you have nothing left to lose. Like, you know what it takes. You have a really big advantage against anybody that you play against because you know what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
No
one
can take that away from you. You know what I mean?
No. No, not at all. So, I mean, I don't think San Francisco is a lock for a lot of reasons, mostly because what's happening in their own division. And, you know, and I'm not going to toot the Lions. The Lions have a Super Bowl window. They do. And I think the scary thing, when you think about what Brad Holmes did in the offseason last year, he drafted his guys. The Lions draft class got C-minus by all the experts last year.
Right.
And
I remember.
And they turned out to be an epic draft class. I mean, a franchise changer. And so Brad Holmes is smart. He's going to do what he needs to do. And here's the thing about Detroit where I'm not sure they've ever had this. They are a destination that guys want to go to. That's never happened.
No, but here's the thing that you're talking about, Brett Holmes, and that's cool that you're talking about him. He had a chance to really do some things on free agency. He didn't do it. And I'm just telling you, the Bears picked up Montez Sweat. And I'm saying Montez Sweat would have worked out very well with the lineup. If they would have had Montez Sweat against San Francisco, I guarantee you the lineups win. Period.
Right, right. I'll tell you why I don't necessarily fault Brad Holmes. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I do agree with you. But I don't fault Brad Holmes for going the direction he has, and I'll tell you why. Because if I'm drafting as well as I am, if my ability to identify talent coming out of the draft is so much better and proving to be better than almost all of people on all the 32, all right. the 32
exactly.
other managers, 31 other managers I'm competing
with. Why am I taking damaged goods? Why am I taking damaged goods, right?
Well, not necessarily damaged goods, but why am I going to overspend,
right?
Overspend on somebody who might be a short-term answer when I can get someone who can be a franchise contributor for 5-6 years and
right.
trust my ability as a GM? So, yeah, what he's doing is he's betting on himself, and I'll never fault anybody for doing that. He's betting on himself. And why not? Look what he's done in 3 years. So he's going to make – I mean, another guy in Detroit who's doing a great job is Steve Yzerman as the general manager. That guy is smart, and
top
everyone in the league knows
right now, right? Top wild card spot? Top wild card spot?
Well, here's a stat I learned about that team. Listen, you want to know how smart Steve Yzerman is as a general manager, and I put him in Brad Holmes' in the same category. I was watching them play the Blues today, blowing them out by 5 goals. The stat that was scary was Steve Yzerman acquired the players that were not on the team last year, they acquired for this year, have totaled 75 additional goals. None of those guys played for them last year. That is all Steve Yzerman identifying talent and bringing it in. That's just unreal. 75 goals. I mean, what a huge improvement. And I think Brad Holmes is in that category. So, yeah, I don't blame him for passing on Montez, but, you know, would have it helped? Yeah, it would have. But I don't blame him for not doing it because he's betting on himself.
Do you honestly think if we had Montez Sweat, the Lions would have been in the Super Bowl? I think yes. Yes.
Possibly, yeah.
No, I mean, isn't that crazy that you're so dedicated to the way that you think that I don't want to say you're bullheaded, but Montez Sweat with Hutch? Oh, are you serious? Good night, Bernie. Good night, Bernie.
Well, there's actually a lot of really good teams out there that, you know, if they want it, they could take it. I mean, the Bills, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Bills, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it after what they've done in the last few years. I don't know. And Miami, I don't think Miami's going to be... Well, you're going to be good. You know, you're not going to stink up the joint. But we still don't know what's going to happen with the Jets. I mean, are the Jets going to actually – are they going to do something with Rodgers? And are they going to keep – you know, are they going to get new blood coming over? You know, they got free agents. You know, I mean, that's a big question mark. No one's even –
No, nice thing about the Dolphins is that this team that they have assembled now can score 70 points. They told you that. So it's always going to be a fun game when you play against them. Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, your defense really wanna pay particular, you know, instances because, no, they will score 70 against you. 70. And, yes, we talked about Tyreek Hill. Yeah, he ended up there. So, yeah. That dude can have 4, 5, 10 pounds in one day, no problem. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, you got Burrow. What is Cincinnati going to do? Now you got Jacksonville. You know, they were supposed to be better than they were this year. Are they going to come back? Houston, I do really think. I think Stroud is a little bit of a Kyler Murray. We'll find out with that. Yeah, I mean, and hey, look, there's a lot of new teams, basically. Well, who do we got on here? Let's see. I think this is Lou, but I don't know. Let me check my thing here, my numbers. But the bottom line is we've got some really good football teams. It all depends on who wants it the most. You know, go out and get it. So,
here it is. The one thing I want to say about the Super Bowl as well, that a lot of people are really, they're into this whole conspiracy theory about how, you know, script writing is like the WWE. And, you know, I equate it back to, like, the heyday of the NBA. I mean, everyone knows that there were calls against other players that they would never call against Michael Jordan. Everyone knows this, and it's no different today. But is there influence on the outcome? Absolutely. But does it determine the outcome? No, and I'll tell you why. This game, I thought the officiating, if it was slanted in any direction, it was slanted for the 49ers.
Yeah, I did.
Without question.
Yep.
You know, that horse collar penalty on Purdy, that was not a horse collar tackle.
No.
And that wasn't. There were at least on the final drive, there were at least two spots that would have given the Chiefs the first down that ended up being a third down or a fourth down. At least two spots that were not in that were bad spots for the Chiefs. So a couple of plays here and there, I can't remember off the top of my head, but when I counted how many plays were kind of slanted against the Chiefs, I mean, this game was not scripted for the Chiefs to win, if people believe the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So when I hear about them.
But anyway, let's bring Lou on board. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thanks, Jeff.
What was your take on the Super Bowl, Lou?
You know, for something that didn't start out to be a great game, it turned out to be a fantastic finish because the first thing kind of dragged on. I mean, all kinds of mistakes were being made, you know, fumbles, interceptions, missed points. Yeah, it was low scoring. It sounded like a drag. You know, I thought it was going to be like a 3-0 game. But, you know, it picked up in the second half. And just when you think the 49ers had it all figured out comes the Chiefs and spoiled it. Of course, if they didn't miss an extra point and forgot what the rules were in overtime, maybe they would have won. How stupid can you be?
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's see. What was the rule again? Oh, I forgot. We take it from the 30 to take what do you do for this? And you call yourself professional players? I do that better in my sleep.
Well, even if you didn't know the rules in overtime, you didn't stop them from driving down the field, which is
your job. Dope. Yeah, you dope.
So I don't want to hear that. I didn't know the rules. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
You know how to play football, don't you? The guy's got the ball.
You
can throw it to
the
tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, well, people like to use just about anything because, you know, they don't like to admit that they lost. Well, you did.
Yeah. Unreal. So basically, losing the game was primarily your own fault.
Yeah, but it still was a good game. I mean, it wasn't a blowout. Yeah. It was a good game on both sides. I don't think there was any losers in the Super Bowl. One just got more points than the other, but as far as a loser goes, no, I don't think so.
I don't want to say called a loser.
Yeah, maybe Jake Moody.
Who?
Thank goodness they had no money on the 49ers.
Jake Moody, the guy that missed the extra point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a bad move then.
Well, I knew it. I said it on the show. I said it's going to come down to just making that one miss extra point or one little mistake is going to make the difference in the game. And that would have made the difference. It wouldn't have gone into overtime. They would have been ahead by one. They wouldn't have gone into overtime. The game would have been over. But you missed that extra point, and that hurts. Yeah, I mean, you would think, oh, it's just one extra point, not a big deal. Really?
Since when? Because that could be all the difference in it.
Every point is a big deal in the NFL.
Every
anymore.
Point means something.
Right.
Exactly.
Every point is a big point. Really.
And the actual miss can come back to bite you in the you-know-where.
Well, every game means something
That's the Gaylord Fokker rule in the that's the Gaylord Fokker rule in the volleyball in the pool. Dude, I missed one point. It was a big point.
Yeah. But especially the game of that magnitude, you know, that means a lot more. You know, you have to think about that. You know, because this was not just a game. I mean, this is for, you know, the Super Bowl. This was, you know, the be-all and end-all. And, you know, that caused the mistake hurts a lot more than, say, regular season or preseason and regular season. I mean, this one, you know, that's going to come back to bite you for a long time.
Well, I mean, the NFL is getting to the point. I mean, look, I mean, every game matters. You know, you lose one game. I mean, especially in your division, which a lot of these divisions are very, very close. So you lose one game, and that is enough to take you out of the playoffs. And
stay in college. That's even worse.
Which I kind of like because, you know, unlike baseball, you can go a whole month and lose.
Yeah.
You can make that up. You can't do that in football.
Well, one loss isn't going to hurt you much. Two, maybe.
Well, I mean, even San Francisco, they had a three-game, you know, but then they won everything else. But, okay, you got lucky with that. What if you, you know, you lost a couple more down the road? That would have been a different story.
One of the worst moments as a Yankees fan, as you're up 3-0, and the Red Sox haven't won a World Series in, I think, 106 years.
No, it was 87
and they
years.
They come back and they beat you 4-3. Whoever they played in the World Series, good luck. Because the curse has been broke.
Yep.
Yeah. You knew they were going to win the World Series when they beat the Yankees. In Yankee Stadium, you were like, yeah, I would not want to be a National League team right now. You're going to lose.
Yes.
And who was that? Was that the Braves?
No, that's not what happened.
It wasn't the Padres because the Yankees beat the Padres in 97. Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I think it was the Braves, wasn't it?
Could have been. You were there every year for a while.
Okay, let's do this. And what year was that? That was 2004, wasn't it?
Probably
yeah.
Something like that.
2004.
World Series 2004, and they won it again in what, 2008 or 9 or something?
2007.
Right, yeah. They got it, like, you know, within 4 or 5 years, so.
2007, they did it because in 2008, the Phillies won.
Oh, it was the Cardinals. They beat the Cardinals?
They beat the Cardinals.
Makes sense.
Sweeping the loss of the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's pretty hard to do. I mean, the Cardinals are number two when it comes to World Series.
Right. After the
A's. Then it comes the A's. But, well, the Cardinals have always been one of those teams that have, you know, always get in there in the playoffs. They're always a good team. Well, the Dodgers now. Even with this Otani, they're going to get him over the hump. They're going to get the Dodgers over the hump. They're going to get a, you know, a World Series. I mean, they've only been there a million times. They should have a bucket full of rings. They should have rings on their toes. They got so many, you know, they ran out of appendages.
Yeah,
like the Braves, you know. I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Wow. That's sports for you.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of baseball, I guess there's new uniforms. Have you guys seen them? I mean,
yeah.
They're very, very, very thin. You can see right through them. And you're like, you know, kind of what were they thinking? And you can see where their uniform is tucked in. Well, what if, you know, and again, like I said, if Nuke LaRouche was playing, you'd see his garters. It would be horrible. So, and
yeah.
Nothing's embroidered anymore on the uniforms. They're all in patches. And the players are saying it looks cheap, which they do. And take that goddamn Nike logo off the uniform. The uniform's not a billboard. And plus, why are you buying Nike anyway? It's a child labor. Those uniforms are put together by children, little girls. Ugh, makes me sick. But
Rose goes on the front, big guy.
What?
The rose goes in the front, big guy.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right. The rose goes in the front. And for a minute, I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
the rose. I don't know, man, but... Hey, we'll find out if this Otani can do it. But look, I mean, he's shown he can get hurt. What if he gets hurt? $70 million right down the drain.
Yeah.
If he plays a full season, he throws a 3.0 ERA for like 18 games and hit 300-plus. The modern-day Babe Ruth. Basically.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to stay healthy, and that's...
But he is the modern-day Babe Ruth. He's the best pitcher in baseball, period. Period.
Well, I hope he can do it. Well, look, we got pitchers and catchers are already in play. And right around March 1st, we're going to start seeing, you know, some preseason games. And ain't going to be long. It's going to be opening day.
Oh, and literally, I'm going to get two season tickets for weekend games to the Toledo Mud Hens, which are the highest level before you become a Tiger. But a lot of times, you see some good Tigers that come up there just to rehabilitate. So it'll be fun.
So how are the Tigers going to look this year?
To be honest, maybe 50%, like 500 team. Scott Harris has been telling us that he's doing something to make it like a 600 team. So it's put up or shut up here.
Yes.
Me as a Tiger fan. What about you, Viper?
Well, what I've been hearing is I'm not sure it's going to be a this year thing, but the Tigers have definitely improved the organization. Their farm system is ranked number 2 in the league right now. And having been decimated by Al Avila, you know, I think the new GM has definitely done a great job there. And the future is definitely looking a lot better. But, you know, it's a process. You know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. And, you know, I think, obviously the talent can be ranked all it wants to be ranked, but then it's about developing the talent the right way, brand players along the right way. And, you know, I think they're going to be better, but, you know, how do you compete with what the Dodgers are spending and what the Yankees spend and what these other franchises are spending?
If you think $80 million is a year a lot, it's not $300 to $500 million. It's really not. And it's been this way for a long time. And that's why, like, every once in a while, a Kansas City or Milwaukee get to a World Series. And they only spend $50 to $80 million. Doesn't still mean they won it.
Yeah.
You know, in baseball, you can spend the money and win championships.
Yeah.
You can. It's one of the few sports you can actually do it, and you know what? You go to the NLCS championship game or whatever. Like, if you don't go to the World Series, you're right there, and that's fine. But baseball is one of the few sports you can get away with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, the Dodgers sure spent the money. I mean, and hey, look, they've got the talent. They've got everything. For whatever reason, who knows?
Oh no! Regardless of where you're at, here's someone at the end. It's they have that little left spark, and the Dodgers have not at the very end. But they get you to the very end every single year. I mean, can you remember when the Dodgers weren't part of the NLCS? I'm sure I remember.
It was a while ago.
No, they're the Braves, right? They're just the modern-day Braves. They just can't get over that hump, whatever it is.
No.
Well, I mean, if Otani can't do it for them, then I think that's it. No one can. I mean.
Well, I think that's why they got him. And they're going to say, if he can't do it, than no one really can, because he is a phenomenon in a pitching and hitting person. He's unique. He is Babe Ruth. So he can't do it for him. Yeah, they're right.
Well, well, anyway, I do have some baseball trivia. What opposing team did Babe Ruth his first career home run? Was it against the Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, Baltimore Black Sox, or the New York Yankees?
Red Sox.
Yankees.
Viper?
Yankees.
Yep, it was the New York Yankees because he played with the Red Sox.
Yep.
This was while playing for the Red Sox, Babe Ruth hit his first career home run against the New York Yankees May 6, 1915. Who was the first major league player to hit a to pick the ball over 100 miles an hour? Tom Seaver, Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, or Dwight Gooden?
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah. All right, here's one. Which pitcher had no right hand? Was it Jim Abbott?
Jim Abbott.
The Yankees. He actually
lefty pitcher.
Yep, he pitched a no hitter in '93 against Cleveland.
Well, no, and Jim Abbott was also a University of Michigan pitcher in college. By the way, everybody wants to add in information. It's okay. I'm
sorry. No, it's interesting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who was the first reliever, the first relief pitcher elected to the Hall of Fame? Hoyt Wilhelm, Raleigh Fingers, Goose Gossage, or Dennis Eckersley?
Oh, wow. That's a good list.
Well, I got my guess.
I got my guess, too.
I'm going to go with Raleigh.
I'm going Raleigh, too, dude.
All right, Viper, who you got?
Raleigh.
No, Raleigh Fingers was not it. I'm going to go Dennis Eckersley. No.
Hoyt Wilhelm
was nearly 30 years old when he entered the major league.
Yeah.
He pitched until he was 50. Wow.
I know. I knew it. Yep.
I did not know that. He was 30 when he came in, and he pitched till he was 50. Wow.
Wow. That's just what you remember for one thing in particular, and we know what that is, don't we?
Yeah. We go white, but that's all right.
All right, here's a weird one. Which San Francisco Giant player once hit a home run but didn't score? I kind of remember this. I remember this story. Was it Bernie Molina, John Bowker, Aaron Rowan, or Randy Wynn?
I'm going to go with Wynn, dude.
All right, let's see what happens. Nope. On September 26, 2008, Benji Molina became the first player in Major League Baseball to hit a home run and not get credit for a run scored. In the sixth inning of a game against Los Angeles, he hit a ball off the right field wall that was originally ruled a single. The umpires used instant replay, subsequently ruled the hit a home run, but Molina had already been replaced at first base with pinch hitter Emmanuel Burris, who rounded the bases and was credited for the run.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's embarrassing.
It's the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
So why would you,
like,
why
hey,
would you
how can this get worse from a good thing? Well, yes. Let's keep looking into it.
Oh, wow. But, I mean, why like, would you replace him?
You
so...
got replaced. You got replaced because of, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
sure
no.
It is. Sure it is.
All
oh,
right.
No.
Here's
and...
a good one. Who was the first Major League Baseball player to appear on a Wheaties cereal box? Was
me.
It Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig,
no.
Joe DiMaggio, or Mel Ott? I got my guess.
DiMaggio.
Lou Gehrig.
You got Lou Gehrig, you got DiMaggio. Seth, who do you got?
I got Mel Ott because it was so late in those years.
I got Joe DiMaggio, so let's find out what if Mel Ott's in. Nope. Joe DiMaggio, no. Lou Gehrig in 1934.
Wow.
Oh. Not only won the Triple Crown battling title, but was the first player to appear on a Wheaties cereal box.
That's interesting.
Well, he's with the Yankees.
Yeah, dude. Good for him, dude.
At least with the Yankee, though.
Let's see. Let's try another. What rookie pitcher hit a home run? What rookie pitcher hit a home run in his very first at bat? Was it Mordecai Brown, Grover Alexander, Hoyt Wilhelm, or Chief Bender? I got my guess. Mordecai Brown, Grover Alexander, Hoyt Wilhelm, or Chief Bender?
I think it was Alexander.
Hoyt Wilhelm.
That's where I'm going, Hoyt Wilhelm. Who do you got, Seth?
Everybody's going to say that, and once they have repeated names in these type of things, but you know what? I'm old school. Mordecai. I'm going Mordecai.
Okay,
Mordecai.
Let's try Mordecai. Nope. Let's try Grover. Nope. Let's try Hoyt. Hoyt Wilhelm in his very first at bat as a 28-year-old rookie pitcher. Wow.
Very rare to do.
Came in at 28. That's still pretty old.
Right.
Old. 20 old.
You have to realize the farm systems, the relief systems at this point in time in baseball was so limited that if you came in even at 28 would seem old. You were probably a very capable pitcher. In fact, games and innings that these guys pitched, like, it's really insane. Cy Young, just with the amount of complete game pitch, nowadays will never be equal, ever. It's not even possible. No one plays the game like that. So...
Okay, we got, here's another question. We got a caller. Hold on, caller. If you want to, speak, press the number one and it'll let me know that you want to talk. Otherwise, tells me that you want to listen. Where is this question I found? Oh, who is the only Braves player to have played for the organization in all three cities it has called home, which would have been Boston,
wow,
Milwaukee, and Atlanta? Now, is it Warren Spahn, Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, or Bob Elliott? I got my guess.
I know it's not the right answer, but it still makes sense. I know he played on two of them out of three, for sure. I'm going Hank.
No, Hank only played on, I think Hank only played on two.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I at least know he played on two.
I'm going Warren Spahn.
No, it's Warren Spahn, dude. It's got to be Warren Spahn. Come on.
No, Warren Spahn is not it. So it's either Eddie Matthews or Bob Elliott.
Eddie Matthews.
Wow. Let's try Eddie Matthews. Eddie Matthews, one of the best third basemen ever to play the game. Matthews played for the Braves for the last season in Boston, the team's entire tenure in Milwaukee, and the first season in Atlanta. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. What rookie hit 7 home runs in his first 6 games? What Major League Baseball rookie hit 7 home runs in his first 6 games?
Wow.
Ryan Braun, Ichiro Suzuki, Albert Pujols, or Trevor Story? I got my
Big
guess. Out. Yeah, that's where I'm going. No, Albert Pujols is not it.
No, I got Ichiro, dude.
No.
Ichiro was not a home run hitter. So it's Ryan Braun or Trevor Story. Huh.
Oh, Story.
Let's try Trevor. Trevor Story. Wow. Played for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah. Well, that's getting a force.
Who was the first player since Babe Ruth to pitch 50 innings and hit 15 home runs in a single season? Oh, that's Ohtani. Come on. Come on. Some of these are really dumb.
Yeah.
Well, we've got football, boxing, or golf. We got trivia and all.
Football.
You want to go golf?
Four.
All right. What year was the PGA of America founded? 1886, 1916, 1932, or
1949?
1916. 1916? 49.
Nope.
1916?
No, what was the first year?
1886.
I'm going with that one.
No.
No.
So we do have a caller on board. I think I recognize this number. Let me find out if I do have it. Let me see.
It's
anyway, I don't know who you are, but if your last 4 digits are 0877, then you're on the air. Welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Hey, Kenneth, it's Bradley. I'm going to
go with...
Bradley,
that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I made it. Yeah, I made it here tonight, guys. PGA was started in 1916.
You're right. 1916
Thank you.
It is.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, what golfer is known as the Golden Bear? Billy Casper, Ben Hogan. Jack Nicklaus.
Jack.
I don't know. I'm not a big golf dude.
Jack Nicklaus.
Well, wait a minute. That's all that they give me for golf? Baseball has a whole bunch of pages. These only got one. Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's like asking who the big Bambino was, the great Bambino. That's too easy.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Not for me, it ain't.
Right.
So this is...
Who's the Walrus?
We got, that's Paul McCartney.
I mean, in golf.
Oh, I don't know.
It's our name.
Who's the shark?
Greg Norman.
I think the Walrus was Sadler, don't you?
I would say it ain't.
Craig Stadler, that's what I think. I think he was the Walrus. Because he had that big, thick mustache and he was kind of heavy, you know?
Well, who's the Eggman then? If he was the Walrus, who's the Eggman?
Who's the what?
Okay, I guess you're not a Beatles fan, are you? Okay.
All right. Which Bears running back was known as the Galloping Ghost? Jim Brown, Harold Grange, Walter Payton, or Gale Sayers?
Oh, Gale Sayers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'll go with Gale Sayers.
Oh, no, it is not Gale Sayers.
Rest in peace, Gale.
So is it Walter Payton? No.
No.
Is it Harold Grange? Yep, because it can't be Jim Brown.
Grange.
No.
Wow.
I bet Gale Sayers, actually.
Jim Brown was on the Bears?
No, I said it can't be Jim Brown. He wasn't on the Bears.
Right.
Why is that the man?
Okay, this has got all different kinds of sports in it. What pitcher holds the record for the most complete games in a Major League Baseball career? Don Sutton, Roy Halladay, Nolan Ryan, or Cy Young? I got my guess. I got Cy Young, too. Yeah. Cy Young. All right, let's see what else comes up. College football, drafted 7th round left. Oh, some of these are dumb.
Yeah.
What boxer famously said that he should be a postage stamp because that was the only way he could ever get licked? Oh, God.
That's beautiful.
Is that Muhammad? Well, you got Oscar De La Hoya, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, or Mike Tyson?
I don't want to tell Frazier. I don't want to tell Frazier.
No, Oscar not Joe Frazier. Muhammad Ali. I mean, Muhammad Ali, it doesn't seem like, I mean, he always said all kinds of stuff. He goes, I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. You know, crap like that. I mean,
that's right, he did.
Hey, when I was a little kid, man, I remember watching Muhammad Ali box as a little kid.
Get away.
We used to have Friday night fights, man. Friday night fights on regular TV. You didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to call in and pay-per-view round. You just turned your television on and you got to box.
And when you watch Muhammad Ali fight, you were like, this dude just kicked the crap out of this dude in 3 minutes. And he never even got touched, and he just hit that dude 300 times in 3 minutes. Like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Muhammad Ali, back in those days, it was fun to watch. It really was.
Say that again.
Well, you know, it was different. It was more raw. It was more real. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It was a little bit different. When you were a kid, you believed the fairy tale
very
a little
different.
Bit more. But you look back at those old clips. I mean, Muhammad Ali, I think today, I think he could still be, you know what I mean? I mean, the guy was a smart.
He was just such a quick-to-punch point hitter that he didn't really worry about stuff, but he got still his half points every time he punched you, or maybe even full points. No, Muhammad Ali. But when you saw him at the end and you knew he had dementia,
that was sad.
That was Muhammad Ali. Then you're like, oh no, that dude.
Oh yes.
His last fight, dude, he took like 40, 45 hits in the head before they called it. And only because he could. But you talk about one of the best fighters of all time, Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay, whatever you want to call him. Period.
Right. Hey, look, say what you want, but he did float like a butterfly and he stung like a bee. It was hard to catch him. And he was a smart boxer. You know, boxing today, boxing isn't boxing anymore. But
if you
were to put Muhammad Ali and in Muhammad Ali's prime and Mike Tyson in his prime, I wonder how that would fare.
Oh, no. I mean, wouldn't that be the ultimate boxing fight? Really?
Yes.
Both of them in their prime.
Now, they got completely different styles. You know, Mike Tyson just goes straight right for you and just starts beating the crap out of you. You know, Muhammad Ali just likes to play with you a little bit before he knocks you completely out. So, you know, it would be an interesting
fight.
Right.
Oh, no. And the thing about Tyson is Tyson beat you within the first three rounds, every single time.
Yep.
And Ali could beat you at the end in 12 and do it effortlessly and just be like, the only other guy that reminded me of Ali was what was the one guy? Man, he's a short black fighter. He's a middleweight. But anyways, he just always fought whatever, always could win, and didn't worry about it. And it was so crazy. And you're like, how did these dudes worry about it? And this dude is getting paid $10 million a fight. And he's never, actually, what is it, Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather. That mother effer in boxing has made so much money that I can't believe. I really don't think he's ever been tested. Like, I don't think anyone's even come close to beating him, ever.
Well,
Floyd Mayweather, right? And that's Junior, because his dad is Floyd Mayweather. He's Junior. People forget that. Yeah, your dad is a professional boxer, and you're the best. And you make, like, $30 to $100 million a year.
All right, here's an interesting question. What is the only city to win three major sporting championships in the same year. That would be the NFL title, baseball's title, and hockey's title.
There's three cities each?
No. What city to win three major league sports championships?
Can I put mine in the hat ahead of time? I'm going to say.
Well, you've got, let me, you've got New
Boston,
York,
Boston.
Dallas, Detroit, or San Francisco.
Oh,
Boston's
so Boston, not even an option. Oh,
so you
crap.
Got New York, Dallas, Detroit, San Francisco, and I'll give you a hint. The championships were football, baseball, and the Stanley Cup. Football, baseball, and hockey.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas.
You go Dallas? All right.
Yep.
Lou?
I'm going to go New York.
New York? All right. And Viper, you still with us?
I am.
Who you got, New York, Dallas, Detroit, or San Francisco?
I think statistically I have to go with New York.
Okay. Well, the answer, in 1935, Detroit became the only city to win three Major League Championships in the same year. The Lions won the NFL title, the Tigers won the World Series, and the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup.
So we're going back to pre-Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it says the only city to win three major sports championships. Oh, I think we know this one. We definitely know this one. Who was the only heavyweight championship to retire with an undefeated record? Everybody knows that. Butterbean. I love Butterbean. Oh, my God. You remember that guy? You couldn't knock him down. He just was too big.
Yeah.
No.
Mayweather.
Was the only cover. Who was on the cover of the first Madden football game? Was it John Elway, John Madden, Joe Montana, or Dan Marino?
Or Dan what?
Who was on the cover of the first John Madden football game? The video. Was it John Elway, John Madden, Joe Montana, or Dan Marino?
Oh. Good question. I'm going to go John Madden.
Okay. Well, there's a second.
Madden.
You're going to go, okay. Was John Madden player to be featured? Was, I didn't know this. I thought it was much earlier than that, but the first player was Garrison Hurst in 1999.
Really?
I thought
they, oh, that's right.
I thought that they put players on their
roster. That became the Madden curse. The Madden curse.
Yeah, the curse.
Yeah, you were on the Madden thing, and normally you end up hurt for the whole year.
Well, Hurst, Garrison Hurst, led the 49ers to the playoffs that year, only to suffer a horrifying broken ankle in the team's second round game, giving rise to the legend of the Madden curse.
Ooh. Right. Yeah. No, it began. It began.
Well, I don't know anything about tennis, but who holds the record for the most consecutive Wimbledon titles? Was it Roger Federer, Billie Jean King, Pete Sampras, or Martina Navratilova?
Martina.
Oh, Martina.
Martina.
Let's see.
I'm going to go with
Martina Navratilova. Won the woman's single tennis record 9 times. Wake up and smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller. 9 times. Wow, that's a lot.
9 times.
That is actually
no. I have confidence in lesbian munchers.
All right. Who was the youngest major league pitcher to throw a no-hitter? Was it Ken Holtzman, Vida Blue, Fred Tony, or Amos Rusi?
Vida.
I got my guess. I'm going to go with Vida. Nope. So it's Ken Holtzman, Fred Tony, or Amos Rusi. Wow. On July 31st, 1891, at the age of 20 years old and 2 months, Amos Rusi became the youngest pitcher to throw a no-hitter. Wow. It was the New York Giants, 6, and the Brooklyn Bridegrooms, 0.
I can't make these things up, folks.
Oh, here's one that I think we've all, it's pretty recent. What Major League Baseball player holds the record for the most grand slams in one inning? Fernando Tatis, Barry Bonds, Hank Sauer, or Mark McGwire? I already got it, and I was right.
McGwire.
Nope. Fernando Tatis, remember? He got 2 grand slams in the same inning, yeah.
Right.
I remember that. Okay. Who holds the record for the most consecutive PGA tours? Most consecutive PGA tour wins.
Arnold Palmer.
Brian Nelson, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, or Ben Hogan? Bradley, you're a golf guy. Who do you got?
I thought it would be Arnold Palmer.
All right. No, Arnold Palmer is not it. So we got Byron Nelson, Tiger Woods, or Ben Hogan? I'm going to go Tiger. No, Tiger Woods is not it. So it's either Ben Hogan or Byron Nelson. Let's go Hogan. No, it is Byron Nelson. Wow. 11 consecutive PGA tournaments and 18 total tournaments in 1945. Well, that was 45. Come on.
Right.
Well, that's still pretty interesting. I mean, nobody's ever done it since.
Not even Tiger.
Nope, not even Tiger. I mean, you win 11 of anything.
Yeah.
Wow, here's an interesting. What position did Mickey Mantle originally play in the minor leagues? Was it right field? Was it pitcher? But she did have one of the best knuckleballs. Was it catcher or shortstop?
I'm going to say pitcher.
Right field.
Actually, it was the shortstop. But after making 102 errors in the last 2 seasons in the minors, he was moved to the outfield.
102 errors?
Yeah, I'm surprised why he was still even in the minors.
Yeah.
Well, he got moved. He got up to the majors, and then they moved him back down to the minors because he couldn't hit. And then he was crying to his dad. His dad said, "Oh, you can come back to work with me at the mine, or you can go back to playing baseball." And he went back, and, well, the rest is history. What other Hall of Fame? Oh, okay. What other Hall of Fame was NBA legend Wilt Chamberlain inducted into? Was it Shuffleboard Hall of Fame, Volleyball Hall of Fame?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. Or boxing? Was it volleyball? Let's see. Volleyball.
Yep.
What team tried to steal a bus at the 1974 World Cup? The Haitian team, the Russian team, Chilean team, or Zaire team? Zaire. In the Munich national teams were given a BMW buses for transportation. After being eliminated, Zaire unsuccessfully tried to drive theirs back to Africa. From Germany. Wow. All right, which NFL position has on average the shortest career? Running backs, kickers, cornerbacks, or wide receivers? Everybody knows this.
Running back.
Wow, who was the first female jockey to win a Triple Crown race? I didn't know they had female jockeys. Huh.
They do.
Why was Roger Maris never intentionally walked the year he hit 61 home runs? Because Mickey batted behind him. Intentional walks were illegal, or nobody had thought of it yet, or pitchers didn't think he was that good. Well, it was Mickey batted right behind him. So if they're going to walk him, they're going to have a guy on base, and Mickey's going to be on board. And, yeah, that would be stupid. Well, in any event, we got about less than a minute to go before they're going to cut us off. Thank you, Bradley. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Viper. Thank you, Seth. We did have some people in the chat room, so thank you very much for chatting in there. And, look, we're going to be back here next week. I found a new editor. I think I can edit some stuff so I can start bringing back some more sound clips, sound bites, and other stuff with that. So we'll see everybody back here next week. 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody. You feel that?